Okay, this is the hour. We will take your phone calls, your questions. Kayla Ambrose with us on Coast to Coast AM, so stand by. And welcome back. Kayla Ambrose with us, the Awakened Psychic. Let's go to calls now here on Coast to Coast AM as we talk with you about the psychic world and other things like that. Kayla, since you've been doing this, what would be your favorite story with an individual who has learned the psychic realm?
Ooh, there are so many, but I think it was, there was a person who really couldn't connect with anyone. They were going through some things, and they had a blockage in their aura, really, that kept them, and science would see it, doctors would see it. It's just they weren't able to really understand people or connect with them. And we see this with a lot of things right now. And this person was able to open up their psychic ability and see people on a greater level. They're really open to their compassion and their ability to engage with people in a way that the doctors had said they were never going to be able to do medically and mentally because of some blockages that they had. And they've gone on now to really explore their spirituality, and I think they're going to do something pretty tremendous with it.
It's got to be sobering for you to be able to see that happen. And to be able to see people
to see people awaken and know that they had the power and the ability within them. And when they awaken to this, that it's not stopped by time or third dimension or the physical body, that we're timeless and that we're creators. And the only thing that's been holding us back is us. It's wonderful.
And when you teach people, what's the shortest amount of time it's taken for somebody to pick this up?
Minutes, especially teaching people to see the aura. I've taught all over. I've taught the Omega Institute up in New York and Lilydale and Edgar Casey's, and I teach all over the country. And I can teach people to see auras for the first time literally within minutes. It's pretty amazing.
That's impressive. Did you ever hear the Edgar Casey story about auras? I don't know how true it was, but he was getting into an elevator.
Yes.
And he saw people with black auras, and it freaked him out. So he didn't go in the elevator, and apparently the elevator shaft broke, and they all died.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I write about that in my Aura, the Awakened Aura book. And, you know, like I said, I've taught at Edgar Casey several times, and so I've had talks with them there and asked them about that. And, you know, the last book Edgar Casey was working on was a book about auras, and he didn't get to finish it. He passed away while writing it. So it's only about 68 pages. But I asked them about that story, and they confirmed that was. And, I tell people that, too. It's very rare to see someone without an aura. But if you do, you know, don't engage with them. It's usually not a good thing. And if you see a black one like that where their auras had, you know, he was so confused he stepped backwards and didn't get on the elevator, which I would, too, if I didn't see anyone with auras or all black. And that's what saved his life from that experience. And, you know, the auras are energy in motion. They tell you your story about every person. When you can open your psychic ability and see the aura, you know what a person's thinking, what they're emitting, what they're up to, good or bad. It's such an important tool. I've taught people in the military that, where they can sense, you know, they're coming up to a building and they don't know if anyone's inside, but they can open up their energy and attune and feel the energy vibration if there is a person in there.
Do you teach remote viewing as well?
I do some, and I have studied remote viewing some with Joe McMonagle and
good people.
Yes, and I was affiliated for years and served on the board of directors at the Ryan Research Center and gave talks at Duke and other, you know, their Stedman Auditorium that the Ryan would do there. And I was at their conference when scientists and psychics meet and appeared on those panels. I'm very much into test me like that, you know, let's talk about the science of it. Let's, you know, like I said, take the woo-woo out of it. So I engage a lot with people who teach on those practical levels and the scientific realms because I want this to be something that everyone can understand and do.
All right, let's go to Chico, California to get things started. Kevin's with us. Hey, Kev, go ahead.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, no, Kayla, yeah, I just had a good question about, you know, this Trump presidency, you know, the elect. You know, Muslim and Latino, whatnot, you know, they're kind of scared out there. And they have really nothing to worry about because I really feel that. I really think Trump, his campaign that he ran in such a dirty, you know, messy deal. How can we try to make sure that they feel comfortable in this situation? And what do you foresee in the real very close future, like, you know, just within days and weeks to come? What do you feel, Kayla?
Psychically, have you looked at this, Kayla? I mean, you got a lot of people upset out there protesting. They should not be. I mean, give the guy a chance, for crying out loud. Let him get sworn in as president and see what he can do. The one thing we cannot tolerate is violence, and you're getting that in Portland right now. But I don't know if you've looked at this psychically yet. Have you?
I do, because a lot of my clients I sign confidentiality agreements for, because they're in the political realms or the financial realms, and they want information like this about the future trends, and that's what I talk about. So going back to 1999, I was telling my students then, I said, from 2007 to 2017 is going to be the darkest time that you'll know in your lifetime. And I said, you're going to forget everything you know, you're going to forget reason, you're going to forget decorum, it's going to feel like the darkest times. And they would laugh and say, you know, because it was pretty good in 99, everybody was feeling pretty good back then. And, you know, they said, you're no way, no way. And they've come to me and said, you're right. And back in 2010, I was teaching at the Learning Annex in Manhattan, and they asked me to write for a book they wanted to put out in 2012 called 2012 and the Decade Beyond, and they asked different people to do predictions. And I talked about things then with elections, and I said that the only way Hillary would win is if she shook things up. And I said the only way that she would shake things up would be actually to do something that was never done, where in 2012 she would have run against Obama for his second term. And I said the timing was right for her at that time, that she would actually win, and she would have taken his place in that second term, and I said she wouldn't win afterwards. And I've been doing interviews for about 17 months. I think first was 17 months ago when some strategists flew down to see me and to ask me, and that's when we had 17 candidates, and I said, Trump's your guy, that's who's going to win. And honestly, they told me I was nuts and crazy, and they laughed. And
they're not laughing anymore.
Later, they came back and said, okay, tell us more.
If you see bad things happening, do you tell people that, or do you hold back?
If it's a personal, you know, reading like that, I will tell the person, but in the most gentle way that I can. But they are hiring me to tell them what's coming, you know, for them, good and bad. So I do share information as best as I can in that way.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Let's go to New York City now. Malin's with us. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Yes, you know, I wanted to talk about Donald Trump. In February, I went to my work in the morning. I saw there was a television on, and, you know, that was the first time I saw Donald Trump on television about this presidential. And he was giving a speech. And, you know, then I also saw on the side there where Hillary was talking. Then when I saw Donald Trump, I, you know, was looking at him, and I see my instincts told me that he was going to be the president a month ago, and I told everybody that he was going to be the president. And then I also ordered him, you know, send him a letter that, you know, I know you are going to be the president, you know. And these feelings and these vibes, I feel his energy. And also when he got elected that night, I was at the mobile gas station and making a tea, and there was a television there. And there was a protesters in Los Angeles. So, you know, I was just watching the television, and I see Donald Trump. And then I see his vote. It says 290. Then I see Hillary, and 232 votes. So, you know, and then I feel the vibe, the Donald Trump actually is going to be the good president. And then the Hillary, I feel her vibes that the Hillary is not good if she was elected, because she would create problems, she would create mess, and it wouldn't accomplish. It would be like something that won't go ahead. I don't know how to explain it, but Hillary, It's not, you know, but Donald Trump is actually is lucky for America.
Well, let's hope you're right there. Let's hope you're right there. How many psychics right now, Kayla, are scurrying, trying to predict what might happen now over the next few years?
You know, I imagine a lot of them are. Like I said, I usually see it coming a little bit ahead. I, you know, even last month I was on interviews saying he's going to win. So it's not surprising to me that this is happening. And, you know, I don't, I'll tell you right now, I think that he'll be one term. And if he even finishes the one term, he may decide to turn some things over depending on where it's going. Because I think he's really more interested in the future of building a TV station, and probably with what's the guy from Fox that left, that he's friends with Roger Ailes or something. So I think there's some talks in the work for that. And I think his daughter actually has deeper political aspirations even than he does, and that we can expect to see her in politics in the future as well.
Well, it's going to be an interesting 4 years for people, to be sure. But in terms of the work you do psychically, do police departments call on you for missing people in cases like that?
I don't do the missing people as much anymore, though. I have, you know, done with, because I could do psychometry where you hold a piece of something and tap into the person. What I like to do now more is teaching them how to tap into their and use their, what they call a gut hunch, you know, into solving those cases where they rely on that more and empower them to do things like that. So I do more like that, especially with, you know, detectives and that are looking to do that. But again, most of them will seek me out for training. And, you know, I'll tell you one client, I had taught at Edgar Casey at a conference there, and they came up afterwards, people wanted, you know, their book signed and to talk to me, and this man just said, okay, read me. And I said, oh, well, you're a police officer, and this was your career, blah, blah, blah. And he said, wow, okay, and contacted me and said, you know, he wanted to do more. So a lot of them want to know because they know it works. They know their hunches work, but they don't want to get laughed at. And they're, you know, there's still a joke about that. Oh, you called in a psychic, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and that's why I'm so passionate about making it mainstream where it's just considered, you know, I'm a contractor you can pull in to help with things just like, you know, someone that does forensics or anything else. And so that's what we're trying to get to, is where it's more mainstream in that way. But, yes, I work with people in every field you can think of.
I get the voicemails quite often from an individual who claims to be a psychic. And, I mean, he calls and leaves messages that, you know, he predicted this and that and this and that. Most of those predictions have come after they've happened. Not much of a psychic when you do that, is it?
No, that's why it's good to do, like I said, I do radio shows and I put it in books like the one with the Learning Index or different radio interviews so people can go back and listen to those.
You want to go on record before it happens.
Yes, exactly. So
let's go back to the phones. Brenda's in West Virginia. Nope, she's not ready. Yes, she is. Hi, Brenda. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
We're good. We're good. Thanks.
I'd really like to know. I've had a lot of psychic experiences in my life, and I've tried to put myself, you know, on the back burner and try to help other people. And when you're your lady there was talking about that. What is the easiest way to help people?
Psychically?
Yeah. What's the easiest way to help them with their life or their, what, you know, their problems in their life? How does it, I mean, you know, it seems like it's so hard to get through to some people, you know?
Well, how do you become the good psychic, Kayla, and give them the good advice?
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is what do you pick up psychically about them? The best way to help them is if you have helpful information, you know, that first of all, if it's something, if they're in danger or something that can help steer them away from that. The other things are really, if you're clear on it and you're sure that you're clear on it, you know, information that's of value to them in their personal lives. But that's the thing, is to work on it enough so that you know that you're being a clear channel and picking up this information, you know, to help them. I choose to do it mostly for business and things, where other people do it for love lives or, you know, situations like that. So even with psychic ability, you still kind of find your niche of which one appeals to you and the one that you want to work with. Some people are medical intuitives, and that's what they do, is you know, read and help doctors and, you know, with healing and medical things. So you find you specialize just like in any other career. It's no different than being an attorney or a doctor.
Let's go to Sandy in my own hometown of Detroit, first-time caller. Sandy, go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi there.
Oh, my. This is so important to me. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
I'm kind of envious of her. I know she knows who she was from birth. I think that must be wonderful. I want to know if she could tell me if there's something wrong with my brain or my soul, or if she could read my aura. I'm so lost, and I don't know why I chose to come back here and live the life I've lived.
Well, now let me ask you, when you say you came back to live the life you live, is there something wrong with this life that you're living now?
Is this coast to coast?
You called it.
I'm sorry. I thought I was going to be speaking with her.
Well, you are, but I needed a little more information.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's right.
No, it's just that I worked so hard and I lost everything a few years ago, and I don't even know how to start over, and I'm wondering. I'm stuck.
All right, Kayla, what do you do for her?
Pardon?
Well,
I was a teacher for.
Go ahead, Kayla.
You asked, you know, why you came back here, and I firmly believe that each of us made a conscious choice to come back in this lifetime, knowing that it wasn't going to be the easiest lifetime for any of us, and that time would be speeding up, and we'd be going through so many different situations so quickly. And I believe there were others on the other side that wanted to come, and believe it or not, that we were the ones that were lucky, in a sense, to come down. We are ushering in a new evolution, a new age, and with that comes a lot of chaos and a lot of struggle. And we're working through kind of breaking apart this old grid, this consciousness grid, to bring into this new lifetime. And it can feel really overwhelming to all of us. And I think part of it with you is that I think you're an empath, that you pick up on the energy of others and feel that, and it's really hard to work through that sometimes. It become overwhelming, and I dedicated a chapter in the book about that, about what is an empath and why so many things seem to happen and it just feels like everything collapses around us. And when you can understand that, you can build a stronger grid in your aura that can kind of protect you from some of those things, so that you don't get bombarded by all those types of energy so much. And it's like a psychic shield in a way that will help that and kind of clear some of it out. And when you can clear that out of your aura, you can kind of reset it so that, you know, that you can bring new things into your life. But everyone's really feeling exhausted right now and going through. I don't know anyone who's saying this is the time of my life or a great time. We're all in this together in one way or another. And we will get through it. I really believe that, you know, I want to say seeing 2020, but I've written about this many times, that 2020 is when things really ease up and get better for all of us.
So there is a little hope here, huh?
Yes, yes.
Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take some final phone calls, rapid night. And don't forget, right at the end of the program, a special tribute to the Edmund Fitzgerald. We shall be right back. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Kayla Ambrose with us. Website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, where you can get all your information. Kayla, if somebody wants to take a psychic course through you, can they do that?
Yes, I have a school, the Academy of Mystical Arts and Spiritual Sciences.
I like that.
On my website there. Thank you. And one of the many courses I offer, they're video downloads, so you can self-study, and then you can... I have where you can also, when you do the video course, then you get a 30-minute private consultation with me where we can talk about it. But it's 6 weeks of psychic school, and it takes you through week by week how to tune into your natural psychic ability, psychic protection, divination techniques, how to communicate with ghosts and spirits in the other worlds, how to work in spirit realms, opening portals the other side, reading Akashic records, astral travel, lucid dreaming, remote viewing, projection. And then week six is seeing future trends, how to do things like I do, predicting real-world predictions, stocks, the weather, how to build a career on this if it's your calling. I take you kind of from A to Z. And the book is a companion guide to it. So,
are there days that you're better psychically than other days?
Yes. And I say this all the time, psychics are held to this level that no one else is. Even the best baseball player that, you know, hits a home run does not hit a home run every single time.
No.
And psychics are human. We're in human bodies. We have days when we're sick or, you know, not feeling well or as strong. And I am very honest about that with my clients, and I admit that to them. And if I have a client booked and it's a day that I'm sick, I call them and I say, look, I'm not feeling well. I'm not going to be my best. I'll give you your money back or you can have a different day. And they always take a different day because most of them.
Oh, they want to learn. They want the info.
Yeah. Yeah, and they appreciate that I'm honest enough to say that. So, you know, I also fully admit I'm kind of the truth teller with psychics like that, that nothing is 100%, including psychic ability. Nothing is 100%. We're only able to see what we can see, and different psychics see at different levels. There are some people I can read stronger and better than others, and I'm probably the most forthcoming about those things. I will tell people straight out. And I just think that's just part of ethics and having a good business. But that's why my clients stay with me, is they know me, they trust me, I produce good results, and, you know, I let them know what I can know and how I can do it. And I just think in any industry it should be that way.
Okay, to the calls now we go. Jeff in Culver City, California. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George and Mrs. Ambrose. Yes, a couple of weeks back, I called in the Coast to Coast to mention a dream that I had of Donald Trump winning the presidency. That occurred in September, but it came true. You know, there was only one slight variation. Instead of people cheering happily in the streets, as I've seen in this dream, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Protests and other demonstrations against the man. Now, I have no idea why I had this particular dream, Ms. Ambrose, since I didn't vote for him or Hillary. But it came to me during my sleep state for some strange reason. It was as if someone wanted me to see this and know this before it occurred. My question is this, Mrs. Ambrose. Do you believe that our government has an ability to send subliminal visions of future events via the subconscious sleep state and just, you know, they just want to wait and see if anyone responds to it? And how can the variation occur? You know, instead of happiness, it also, you know, turn into being a protest or demonstration.
That's a pretty good question, Kayla. Does the government have the ability to do this?
There's a lot of things that aren't revealed in that are used with that type of work. But I'll tell you also, there is a global consciousness, like I was talking about.
Oh, no question about
it.
We
are not really bound by time like we know it. And, you know, I've had conversations with Dr. Roger Nelson, who was part of the PEAR project.
Mm-hmm.
And in Princeton, so if you want to Google that and look it up, it's fascinating. He had created these eggs that are all around the world that pick up when world events are happening that are going to be very big, you know, wide response. And all of those eggs, they look like they're doing like a heart monitor or an earthquake monitor. But when something big's about to come, they get huge, and they are predicting it. The fascinating thing is they predict it 3 days before it happens. And he's got fascinating predictions like that, where they did that before the death of Princess Diana and before 9/11 and a lot of things. And it's one way that science is showing that in our dreams, and, you know, it's funny you mentioned dreams, because that's the next book that'll be coming out in this series, is The Awakened Dreamer. I show people how to lucid dream, how to change their dreams, how to be in their dreams. That book will be out next year. And people pick up this in the global consciousness. So I think in this case, that's what you were picking up, because everyone is psychic. And if you can remember your dreams and pay attention, you will pick it up. So you picked up what was happening. The difference, though, is the free will of how people respond to these things. So why in your dream you picked it up seeing, you know, one thing, you know, you're seeing a different response. But the media is only covering certain responses as well. There are people, I have no doubt, that are celebrating as well, but that doesn't really, you know, get the same attention on media. Happy news or, you know, people celebrating doesn't quite get covered like people that are upset and doing those things as well. So we see those changes. But yes, there's so much technology and so many things that, you know, have not really been revealed in that way. But the good news is our aura grid is getting stronger, and if you build up a psychic self-defense, you really can stop those things from affecting you like that. And as we get stronger with these auric shields, they won't be able to penetrate the same. Whatever is being directed at us, we'll have a stronger sense of being. And sound technology is going to get huge. I've been talking about this for a decade now and how it was used in the ancient healing temples. They would break apart even tumors inside the body just using sound. And, sound has been used in the military for things as well, maybe not in the happiest way, but we're going to really explore sound again too and understand it at a deeper level where we're using it for healing and other techniques and for barriers. And we see this written even in, in the Bible, like the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, and sound was used for a lot of things to move, to lift, to break things apart, to fuse them together. There's so much coming so fast that no matter what may or may not be trying to be done for control, it's just going to be bigger than that, and it won't be contained.
Well, let's go to Green Bay, Wisconsin. James with us now. James, take it away. Go ahead.
Hello, you two. It's wonderful to be on the show.
Hi, James.
I just wanted to bring up, I was listening earlier when you were talking about the blockages in spiritual auras. And it really struck a chord with me. I have this situation where I was told that I have a bad spirit latched onto me, and it's been troubling me for a while. As in, I'm not the same person anymore.
And how long has that been going on?
For about 3 years. Now, I met this one lady. She was kind of far out, and she decided to read my aura. And when she did, she noticed I don't want to say there wasn't just one, but there was something else, and my aura was dark.
It was attached to you.
Yeah,
there one episode, James, that something happened in your life that would have occurred where this attachment would have happened?
Yes, absolutely, and she pinpointed it exactly. It might sound ridiculous, but a long time ago, well, probably 3 years ago, I was at a cemetery, and I was foolish, and we were trying to do a ritual.
Okay.
And
that'll do it.
It was absolutely foolish, but I've been kind of treating it like, you get 5 years bad luck for doing yada yada, breaking a mirror. I've been treating it like that, like, oh, it's going to get better. But I seem to continually be sliding slowly down to a darker and darker depths. And I was just wondering if there's any sort of advice that either of the two of you could offer me to try and help me out of this.
Well, one thing, Kayla is a psychic, so what I'd recommend is that you really need someone who's an expert at the mediumship in cleansing, in getting rid of evil spirits. I want you to go to my website, coasttocoastam.com. In the far right-hand corner, there's a search section. Type in Marianne Winkowski and get a hold of her by email, and see if she can help you get rid of this attachment. Kayla, we're running out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the show. Where do we get the book, The Awakened Psychic?
It's available in bookstores everywhere and Amazon.com.
All right, great. Thanks again. I really appreciate it. Folks, the Edmund Fitzgerald was an American Great Lakes freighter. It sank in Lake Superior in a storm on November 10th, 1975, 41 years ago. I was working at a television station in Detroit when we covered that. I sent a crew up to Lake Superior. The entire crew was lost, 29 people. As our tradition here on Coast to Coast, just a little tribute to those who died on that day. For Dan Galante, Mike Cosio, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lohenhood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.